This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, this is another one of those special podcasts that we like to do from time to time. As you know, I had got to know a guy by the name of Dan Amadouri quite a few years ago, 2012, 13. And he's become a friend, and with his company, he often introduces me to some really interesting individuals and really interesting companies within our sector. And that's what we have here again today. I've gotten a chance here to visit with a gentleman by the name of Warwick Smith. He is the CEO and co-founder of a company called American Pacific Mining Corp. And as we stand here on the cusp of what appears to be a real renewed breakout in bull market in the metals, we're going to find, I believe, that many exploration companies, companies that maybe their assets weren't economical at $1,300 gold are all of a sudden real economical at $1,600 gold. I mean, these opportunities are going to be out there. So as I bump into them from time to time, I want to share them with you. Dan passed American Pacific Mining Corp on to me. And like I said, this is our chance to visit with Warwick Smith. So Warwick, thank you for taking a few minutes.
Thanks so much for having me. Much appreciated.
Before we get into the stuff, just tell everybody a little bit about your background, maybe a little bit about the company, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been involved in the mining industry since about 1999. I've been lucky enough to see some good success on the way through, and have a couple of the smaller companies that I've been involved in, go from $10 million market caps to, $1 billion plus listed on the New York Stock Exchange. So, we've been blessed with some good success, and thrilled to be here working with Eric Saderholm, who's the former head of exploration in the Western U.S. for Newmont. We have some very high grade assets. The main asset is about 45 minutes outside of Elko, Nevada. Very high-grade underground epithermal system, and we partnered with Oceana Gold. Oceana is a $2.5 billion market cap company, and somebody that we think can help us tremendously. So we're very, very excited to push forward.
Yeah, I think it's such a compelling story. And the last company I talked to was U.S.-based as well. And I know there's great jurisdictions around the world, and the U.S. obviously has its warts, but there's something always compelling about being a little more local, at least for me, and knowing what we're dealing with.
100%. I mean, we've focused on the Western U.S. for some time, previously to American Pacific's a fairly new company. We went public in March of 2018. But as we were looking for assets and for the right thing to go public, we were focused on looking in the Western U.S. Obviously, Eric's background with Newmont, he's actually based in Elko, Nevada. But one thing that people should recognize is Nevada is one of the best places in the world, not just in the U.S., for mining. You can find tremendous assets there. There's still assets being found. There's been multiple different mergers in 2018 and 2019 of smaller companies being taken over by large cap companies. Alio took over Rypatch, Hecla took over Klondex, and there's another one that's escaping my mind. But you're seeing, and obviously the Newmont and Barrick combination moving forward on the Nevada assets as well. But there's a lot going on in Nevada, and the reason for that is it's a stable jurisdiction. Under this current administration, they've really streamlined things. For example, we were able to get a drill permit within 5 days. Previously, that would have taken 3 or 4 months. Nevada is open for business and is a great place for both exploration and production.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I want to, before we get to, we'll talk a little bit more about the company specifically. But as you mentioned, you've been at this for a couple of decades now. You've seen good times and bad. And in the last 5 or 6 years have been not much fun for anybody. But man, I tell you, on my site, we've been talking all year about how this year resembles 2010 with the global economy slowing down and the central banks reversing course and revealing themselves to only really have one plan, which is to print money. We've got all this negative yielding global debt. I mean, all these things are combining to really make a compelling case for gold ownership and higher prices. I would assume, I mean, that's probably all part of your plan and, you know, and where you project the gold price for your company too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing, you know, negatively yielding returns are only okay if the decline is less than inflation. You know, if you have a bond with, you know, negative 1% yield and you've got inflation at a, you know, 3 or 4%, then maybe it makes some sense. But if gold returns you 30% or so on your investment in 15 to 18 months, it's not only a great investment, but a true non-paper storage of wealth and far exceeding what a bond's going to get you with considerable more upside.
Yeah.
You know, and then if I'm looking, you know, if I'm doing my crystal ball and I'm saying, where do I think the gold price goes? You know, it's pure speculation, but I see gold breaking that $1,700 an ounce mark within sort of 15 to 18 months. And if that resistance broken, then you can see 19 to 2000 within 24 to 30 months. So if you get that, you know, that happens. Gold has returned you 30% at 1700 and 54% at 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a pretty fantastic return. And, you know, if you see that, then, you know, you start thinking about silver, you know, so if history repeats itself, silver usually lags behind and then you get a 40 to 60% run on its heels. And you know, I believe silver is definitely underpriced right now. And, you know, worldwide silver production, you know, may see significant slowdowns prior to the inevitable gold production slowdowns.
Yeah. To that end, that kind of made me think about the peak gold stuff that you hear from time to time, you know, because we got so many mines that are just on maintenance at this point because price has been low for so long. What do you think about that, about future supply? I mean, is there a big lag between rising price and supply coming in, or is that even, you know, or have we hit a kind of a peak gold?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, something that, you know, I've read a good amount about as well. You know, look, I've worked in the mining sector for decades now, and you see mines come and go. What ends up happening is that you get these incremental laybacks. So they're, you know, gold that, you know, wasn't viable at lower gold prices will come back into economic plans as gold rises. So this will keep, you know, production somewhat level for 5 to 10 years, but profitability of those ounces will obviously not be on par with more quality ounces. So the IR on these ounces, you know, they bring profit margins down as productions rise. You know, as these laybacks are completed, gold production will begin to fall worldwide, you know, probably, you know, possibly as much as 50% within 15 years, you know, and any strong downturn in the gold price is going to accelerate that decline as well.
Well, I tell you, it sure makes for, again, a pretty compelling case. Folks here at my site know that every week I do these things with Sprott Money, where Eric Sprott and I talk about the week that was, you know, and that kind of thing. And I mean, privilege it is for me to get a chance to talk to Eric every week. And he has been for the last, really ever since this whole year, but boy, in the last couple of months, he's really excited, just like everybody else is. And he talks a lot about the great possibilities of companies that, again, as I mentioned earlier, maybe the deals and their assets are not economically viable at $1,300 or $1,200. But as you go up in price, man, it gets exciting. And then as institutional money begins to recognize that this is where the growth is and where the earnings growth is and all that kind of stuff, money starts flowing in. And so we're here still, though, at the early stages, which is why I thought it was great to get a chance to visit with you. I mean, you co-founded American Pacific Mining Corp, like you said, about, what, a year and a half ago.
Correct.
Your co-founder comes from Newmont or has a long experience with Newmont in the western part of the U.S. Let's go there for a second. Let's talk about the company, what you have, and what you guys bring to the table, why you decide to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a fairly simple answer as to why I work with Eric Saderholm. It's just simply because he is the best. He's had a ton of success both with the majors at Newmont and with juniors as well. You want to team up with geologists who have made discoveries, because those that make discoveries continue to make discoveries. There really are two types of geologists out there: those who go out and can find it and bring it to production, or, you know, you work with teams that can bring it to production, and those who, you know, continually kick rocks and really don't make those big discoveries. You know, Eric has been there and has done it. has a tremendous resume and is somebody I really truthfully just enjoy working with. So, you know, when we teamed up, we were looking for, you know, talking about assets that, you know, can increase and become economically viable with higher gold prices. We actually made a point of looking for assets that were going to be bomb proof to the gold price. Mm-hmm. In that we were looking for high grade underground ounces that could go into production in that, you know, $600 to $800 range. That way, if gold peels back to $1,000 an ounce or $1,100 an ounce, you can still make money with those assets. Those are the assets that mid tiers and majors will find of interest from a junior company. They want them to explore those. They want them to bring those forward, and then they want to be the ones to come in and develop them. And that's exactly what's happening with American Pacific. We have an asset called Tuscarora. It is incredibly high grade. You know, we've drilled 4.5 meters of 127 grams per ton, a meter and a half of 360 grams per ton, et cetera, wow. et cetera.
Yeah.
Really spectacular grades. And with that, we were approached by one of the mid-tiers. We ended up speaking to quite a few of them, and ended up settling on doing a deal with Oceana Gold. So Oceana Gold, it's a $2.5 billion company. They produce about 500,000 ounces a year. They're looking to get a heavy interest now in the Western U.S. They've opened up an office in Reno, and you know they're coming in. They're spending $10 million U.S. To earn 75% of the project. You know, this is a project that the company paid $375,000 for a year and a half ago. Mm. So, you know, we're trying to do good, smart transactions like that, bring in partners like Oceana, who have done a phenomenal job in helping us already, and are on the precipice now of getting out and doing their own drilling on our project. So they'll be spending the money, and we'll be retaining a percentage. It's a great position for a company like us to be in.
Yeah, I mean, this is significant because you always mm-hmm. run the risk with, especially with exploration or smaller companies, that they run out of cash and then all of a sudden they're diluting the equity that they have to try to raise more and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's always, yeah. I mean, anybody has that as a possibility within their business plan, but you've got this partner already established that can help with that. I would assume that's the right way to look at it.
Absolutely. So you've got a partner that's obviously, you know, I forget what their cash position is, but it's in the hundreds of millions.
Sure.
They're in a phenomenal position where they're in production on three continents. They're producing 500,000 ounces a year with a stated goal to get to 1 million ounces. And what they're looking for are high grade underground epithermal systems, similar to the one they have in New Zealand called Wahi, which they've done very, very well with. We always felt Tuscarora was a lookalike for Wahi. So we always felt that Oceana could be a perfect partner because they did such good work in New Zealand. They really cracked the code there at Wahi. So they were the ideal fit. So fantastic having them on board. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard guys like Rick Rule. I mean, I've heard him say it numerous times. When you're looking at junior companies, if they've got a mid-tier or a major as a partner, they've already done the due diligence for you. And I can tell you, sitting in the CEO seat, there was a hell of a lot of work that went into them reviewing the project.
Yeah.
And you know, they've got a large team, and they've got specialists in every portion to go through with a fine tooth comb before they make an investment. So again, we think we're in a great position having them as a partner, having them spend money. It keeps us with a very low burn rate and allows us to really advance a project with a specialized team without having to spend our own money.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to look at it. I mean, if that big company with all their accountants, bean counters and all the rest looked at it and said, okay, yeah, we should put some money here. That's a pretty good sign. Now, Warwick, you mentioned some preliminary drill results, some big numbers. Mm-hmm. Is there currently drilling going on? Is that about to start? What can you tell everybody about the schedule there?
Truthfully, your timing is perfect because Oceana is on the ground now as we speak, and they're doing all the preliminary work before drilling. So they did some topography work, they did a gravity survey, and they've done what's called CSAMT. All of that helps them target their drilling, mm-hmm. and their drilling is likely to start in August. So they're in the process of, they're going to file their permit to drill. They'll bring a drill on site, which I know is just finishing up on another site. and they should be drilling in August. Latest would be probably right at the beginning of September. So right at the precipice of having this this large company come on and spend their own money to go and do the drilling, you're about a month ahead of them.
My buddy Eric, man, he reads those reports. Might as well be in Latin. But that dude, he just pours over that stuff. How long does it take to go from drilling those holes to putting something out in a press release?
You know, I think typically from the time you drill, you're looking, you know, a month to 6 weeks is that, that sort of time frame, that sort of turnaround. And it depends on the size of the program as well. I will say this, Eric Sprott's certainly one of the smartest guys in the industry, and they, you know, any opportunity to spend time with him is certainly worthwhile. He's made some tremendous investments, and people following him typically end up doing quite well.
Yeah, again, it's kind of like somebody else doing due diligence for you.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so we're going to start. Oceana's going to start doing some drilling sometime next month. And
yes.
It sounds like things are going to get pretty interesting and pretty exciting as we move into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, you know, our focus is on Tuscarora and with Oceana. We have other assets as well. We picked up the Gooseberry Mine in Reno. You know, it's a past producing mine. We did some sampling up there, and we got some spectacular grades there as well. So we're moving that asset forward also. This is going to be a big quarter for us. We'll certainly be out beating the drum and telling the story as well, which is part of the job. But drills will be turning, exploration will be happening up at Gooseberry. There's a lot to look forward to for shareholders in American Pacific.
Well, I find it all very intriguing. I guess as we go to wrap up, Warwick, what else have we, is there anything else we haven't covered? What should be people, you know, the investor, you know, who's been listening to us and thinking, you know, that might be something I want to nibble on. I want to put some of that in my, you know, in a whole diversified portfolio, which is always the way you want to go. Mm-hmm. Are there any other things that, you know, would come to mind? People should know, they should be thinking about, you know, compare your company to others, that kind of thing. And then lastly, give everybody the symbols where they, you know, where you can find the stock.
Yeah, no question. So up in Canada, the symbol's USGD. And down in the U.S., you can purchase under USGDF. Like I said, I think it's great having a big partner like Oceana on board. You know, that's a big deal for us. You know, one thing that separates us from a lot of other companies, other junior mining companies, is our liquidity. The stock trades around 500,000 shares a day on average. So there's very good liquidity within the company. Mm-hmm. We've only got 53 million shares out. We've got $1 million in cash. And we only burn about $70,000 a month. We have good access to capital. We have very happy shareholders who are, you know, quite keen to see the company and the asset go forward. So I'm not concerned about raising capital when we need to. We have that ability for sure. So, you know, I think it's a very exciting time for us, and we're looking forward to, you know, a big fourth quarter, and we're looking forward to a even bigger 2020.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time, my friend. I tell you, I just sit here and my mind starts to wander and I dream, you know, as I think about what all these different companies, yours included, will look like if I'm right about this stuff. You know, if gold is trading at all-time highs in so many other currencies, British pound, Canadian dollars, Australian dollars, you name it, we get where we start trading at all-time highs in U.S. dollars. Oh my gosh, we're going to have a lot of fun.
I look forward
to watching your company, that's for sure.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that.
All right, my friend, thank you for your time. It's really very exciting what's going on. And I think, again, American Pacific Mining Corp, with that U.S. symbol, USGDF, and there's a little bit of a skip when you mentioned the Canadian symbol. Can you hit me with that again, Warwick?
Absolutely. It's USGD.
USGD. So just drop the F.
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, we made it through a podcast without me dropping an F. So that's, you know, that makes people happy. They don't like it when I get potty mouth on these things. So anyway, Warwick, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
I really appreciate it, Greg. Thank you so much.
And from all of us here at TFMR, hey, thank you for listening. And we'll certainly have an update on American Pacific Mining Corp sometime again soon.